You're listening to the Shared Security Show, exploring the trust you put in people and technology with your hosts, Tom Esten, Scott Wright, and Kevin Johnson. Welcome to this week's episode of the Shared Security Show. I'm your host, Tom Esten. On this week's episode, I'm excited to bring you a classic conference talk that I gave with co-host Kevin Johnson back in 2009 at DEF CON 17. The talk is called Social Zombies, Your Friends Want to Eat Your Brains, and it explores the various risks and concerns related to malware delivery through social networking sites. We discuss how social networks make money and the privacy and security issues that arise due to the trust built on these platforms. We also delve into typical botnets and bot programs and examine the delivery of malware through social networks and the use of these networks as command and control channels. Interestingly, not a whole lot has changed in terms of the privacy and security of social networks since we gave this presentation, so it's still highly relevant today. So, without further ado, I hope you enjoy revisiting Social Zombies, Your Friends Want to Eat Your Brains.
Welcome to Social Zombies, Your Friends Want to Eat Your Brains. Thanks for coming out. No, it's the last talk at DEF CON, so we appreciate it. This movie is starring, I'm Tom Esten. Man, that freaks me out every time I see that. Yeah, I am hungry. I want brains. By day, I'm a penetration tester for a large Fortune 500 financial institution, and by night, I am a social media security researcher, co-host of the Security Justice Podcast, and a blogger. And I also am a zombie, apparently.
Yeah. We have photographic proof.
And that really scares me, this picture.
Yeah. My wife loves this picture. So what you see here is truth in media news. You got zombies on TV, and they label them hackers.
This is not Photoshopped.
At all. I'm Kevin Johnson. I work for InGuardians as a security consultant. I also teach the web penetration testing class for SANS, and I'm a nerd. I run more open source projects than anybody should have time for, and I don't sleep. Pretty much covers it.
So real quick, I want to make sure that we are not these kind of zombies, okay? Not zombie strippers at all.
All clothes will remain on.
Kevin's clothes will remain on the entire presentation.
Totally.
And mine too.
Yes, please.
Yeah, sorry. We're here to talk about social networks, and you know, social networks are the new hotness, let's face it. Raise the hands, how many of their parents are on Facebook? Oh my God.
How many of you are connected to your parents on Facebook?
Block them immediately. So Facebook, right? This is the big daddy of them all. Facebook has 250 million users. That's a lot of freaking people to attack. Seriously.
That is the purpose
of Facebook,
right?
Yeah. MySpace, the cesspool of the internet, or as I like to call, social geocities.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, guys, it really is. 110 million users. That number is actually decreasing, believe it or not, because Facebook has just taken over.
People are getting tased.
A lot of us just want it to just go away altogether. So here it is, Twitter. Twitter is the fastest growing social network right now. It actually grew in 2008 by 752%. That's crazy. It's crazy. Just in June of 2009, 20 million visitors. And they estimate, because Twitter doesn't like to give out the numbers of accounts they have, but they're saying 50 million users. So that's still a lot of people, and that's growing every day. So money, right? Social networks is all about money. We know they're all startups, right? And they really, you think about a startup and how do they make money? Well, they make money through a couple ways. It's basically the information that you share, right? Everything that you put up in your social network profile, whether it be Twitter, MySpace, Facebook, High Five, whatever it be, they take that information and they use that for targeted advertising. They also use it to sell to demographic info about you to third parties. All this is stated in their terms of service and privacy policies, which no one reads anyway, but you should.
How many of you have read them? Really? How many of you read them before Facebook changed their profile about deleting the accounts?
I thought so.
Three, four, okay. So, which leads us to trust, right? Social networks, it's all about trust. Trust really is everything. It's how social networks work. Without trust, there would be no social networks. The trust is important for a couple reasons. It's, well, first of all, the attackers love trust relationships because they like to exploit your friends because you trust your friends, and when you get that malicious, when you get a malicious link from your friend, you're just like, hey, it's from John. It looks kind of weird, but I trust him, so I'm gonna click on it.
Yeah, with social networks, most people will tell you, I don't trust Facebook, I don't trust MySpace, but when you really talk to them, they take the trust from their friends and move it into that social network. So when they're sitting there in front of that screen and they see that link or they see that questionnaire, top 15 questions, right? Let me know about you. They're going to answer them. They're going to click them because that trust they have in the real world carries over.
So let's talk about some fake profiles. So I spoke at Nauticon 6 this year and we did a little game called Bot or Not, where, you know, you've heard of Hot or Not, right? Well, we did Bot or Not, and so here's some samples here. Obviously, this one right here, 0EPB4A, is a bot. It's pretty obvious. And she wants to sell you a free laptop, and she's using a strange tiny URL. People click it, trust me. How many of you are friends of Rick Astley? There's no way Rick Astley could be a bot.
Never.
For real.
Way
can't
too
happen.
Trustworthy.
Well, he is. I created Real Rick Astley because I had the plan of Rickrolling Twitter at one point.
But it says he's real.
He is. That is the real Rick Astley. Absolutely. This actually does not even violate Twitter's terms of service because you are allowed to create parody accounts. So the link to the website is actually Rick's real website, and I just pulled off information off of his website. So if anything, he got some publicity for his upcoming events. But what's interesting is when you start following people with Rick Astley using our bot, you get some interesting types of replies. You know, no way this is the real Rick Astley. Website is too crap to be Rick Astley. There's no way. You get, you know, assuming this is the real Rick Astley, claims to be the real deal, maybe I'm getting Rickrolled, you might be. Someone said it was probably an ad-free porn site. Wouldn't that be cool? This guy here says that being followed by him and Governor Schwarzenegger on the same day is life-affirming. I couldn't agree more. This is the real Rick Astley on Twitter. If so, he's going to blow up on here big time. Hey, Rickroll him. No, we'll Rickroll you. This is the best one. I'm so excited. My 80s heartthrob just found me and is following me. Rick Astley. I followed him back. Love him bunches.
We're hoping not to break her heart by having her watch the video.
Yeah. So what's the point, right? The point is that you can be anybody you want to be on a social network. There's no way to verify you who you are on a social network. No authentication process. So, you know, you go up, want to be a celebrity, want to be a movie star, whoever you want to be. Just get a little creative, and you can do that. And then add some bots, you know, scripts and software to that, and you have the potential for all kinds of interesting things. Privacy concerns. You're kidding me. There's privacy concerns with social networks?
I'm not concerned.
No, I'm not either.
Yeah.
Who cares about that stuff, right? Anybody get those 25 random things about you on Facebook from your friends?
Be honest.
Why don't you tell them a little story, Kevin?
Frank DiMaggio and I sat down one day, and we actually went through and picked 15 of the most common password reset questions that we come about, both in my work, his research, and we collected them, posted them as a note on our Facebook profiles didn't ask people to fill it out. We just answered the questions ourselves.
They just did.
Yeah, why not, right? Our information isn't private. Facebook's got it. Before we knew it, you know, hundreds of people had picked up this questionnaire themselves, copied it off of our profile or their friends' profiles, answered the questions, and then, of course, tagged their friends to answer the questions. Because really, if you're going to give out all your personal information, let your friend do it with you.
Absolutely.
Right? Now, the sad part about this is, if you look at my Facebook network, there are security professionals in my Facebook network who answered the question. There are help desk personnel, people who ask these questions every day to reset passwords.
Some of them might be CISSPs.
Oh no, I'll guarantee you they were CISSPs. And they answered the questions and they spread it around. It actually got to the point where Frank and I sat down one day and we're like, we're feeling guilty. It's like, well, do you want to notify these people? They just screwed themselves. Nah.
Yeah, it's amazing. So corporate espionage, right? Because there's so much information out there on social networks, but companies are using social networks now. They're using Facebook, they're using Twitter, they're using all kinds of things. LinkedIn, they're putting everything up there. This is a goldmine of information for an attacker or for the competition or anybody that wants to do some harm to a company.
If you're doing a pen test and you're not looking at social network sites, fail.
Absolutely.
You know, we regularly start a pen test with recon, right? Let's look around, see what information is leaking. Leaking.
LinkedIn leaking, exactly.
LinkedIn should be what it's
LinkedIn.
Called.
LinkedIn, yeah. Yeah, that's great, that's good. Yeah.
Employee awareness of cybersecurity threats is critical to your organization, but most employees are bored by traditional security awareness training. The vast majority of employees are much more engaged when training is gamified. ClickArmor is the first fully gamified security awareness platform that reduces employee vulnerability by 60%. These days, we can't avoid cyber threats. They're everywhere, and everyone is a target. Employees really need to get better at avoiding cyber threats like phishing and social engineering. Most security awareness training solutions aren't effective enough to really change behavior. ClickArmor uses a very different approach that employees love. We use proven gamification techniques with psychological drivers that keep employees motivated to learn and improve their skills. Rather than using controversial live phishing tests that anger many employees and provide unreliable metrics, ClickArmor's unique learning challenges help employees learn about cybersecurity in a fun, stress-free way that builds up their confidence. And our engaging, simulated threat scenarios motivate employees to improve their skills in a safe and fun environment. Gamified simulators can also extend far beyond phishing scenarios to practice facing dangerous social engineering scams. Our weekly 3-minute challenges provide continuous reinforcement for employees. Motivating employees to participate willingly means higher assurance reporting for compliance and risk management. Simple integration with your employee directory means that deployment of ClickArmor is a snap, and single sign-on makes usage and ongoing management of ClickArmor easy. ClickArmor has been proven to provide better employee engagement, making IT managers' lives easier. If you're tired of ineffective awareness training that hurts your corporate culture, find out how to gamify your security awareness training experience to improve employee resilience with ClickArmor.
So what about default privacy settings? There's got to be some kind of security or privacy settings in these social networks, right? Well, there are in some. I mean, and they purposely bury them for various reasons. Like I said, going back to the fact that they want you to share the most as much information as possible. But Facebook is interesting. They actually have the best controls out of any social network, believe it or not. But do you know where they are? Do your friends and family, do you or they even care? Security concerns. No security concerns either with social networks. That's crazy. Guess what, guys? Social networks are the number one target right now for malware. absolutely, hands down. That's where everybody, all the attackers are going, because that's where the people are going. Spam, everything from, we've seen our web vulnerabilities, typical web vulnerabilities, cross-site scripting, CSERF, everything else, it's all out there. Interestingly enough, with disinformation, especially on Twitter, a recent example here at DEF CON.
Yesterday,
talking about the virus on the DEF CON CD. Somebody had tweeted that and said, this is confirmed. There is a virus on the CD on Twitter, and everybody's retweeting this, and a lot of people were believing that. And then there was a statement from Jeff Moss that said, there is no virus. Disinformation. And it spreads viral on Twitter.
It's funny, though, how the confirmed not there doesn't spread as quickly.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, social network bots. So there's lots of ways that you can deliver malware and other kinds of things through social networks with bots. So we've got Twitter bots, right? We have Notabot, which is a bot that I created, which just basically goes around every hour and gives you complete nothing, just total useful information, or useless, depending how you look at it.
I follow it.
Of course. Yeah. Of course. He brightens your day. Let's put it that way.
It does.
Yes.
It does.
There's other bots that have, you know, some actual purpose, like forecast. You know, you send your zip code, and you get the weather back. Hey, cool. You know, that's kind of neat. I'm sure nobody uses it, but apparently 5,000 people are following it. So
look out the window.
Yeah. In the news, there was a developer who wrote a Facebook app, and it basically DDoSed himself. Yeah. Yeah, because he wrote crappy code, which is another part of the problem, which Kevin will probably talk about. You know, these guys don't know what they're doing when they're writing Facebook apps.
Well, the biggest part of the problem there is, one, we can go without saying that most people who call themselves developers should be punched. Right? Security through pain.
Yeah.
Hello? Yeah. Yes, sometimes. I didn't say I was a good developer, though. So, but even when you've got developers who know what they're doing and know how to architect code securely, have you looked at the API documentation from Facebook and MySpace? As I've said many times before, I think the people who wrote it are on crack. It gives horrible examples. Most of the stuff it talks about either doesn't work or is insecure. They update the Facebook API faster than they update the documentation, and there's 87 billion tutorials floating on the internet that are better written, but more incorrect. And so these people who are trying to develop the websites and trying to, the web applications to embed within Facebook or MySpace, they've started out at a disadvantage. We might as well just have them shut their eyes, bang on the keyboard, and then publish it to a web server.
Now, are you ready for the zombie attack?
Yeah. So what we're going to start talking about is, up till now, the previous section with Krios, we're talking about the normal bots that people are used to, the things we've been talking about for years. Bots, new and cool newness.
Hotness.
Hotness, yeah. No, hotness is Facebook.
It's all hotness.
Yeah. Now we're going to start talking about browser-based bots, which is a place I love to play. Because our browsers, they hate us.
You're kidding.
No. Somebody needs to tell Germany that IE is a hacker tool. So it would work. So is knowing it's SCOTUS, by the way. But browsers are getting more feature-rich. We're demanding our browsers to do more. We're no longer happy with the gray background, the black text, and the blue links. I'm old. We have to add Flash, Silverlight, Java, every new feature. Heck, Chrome is talking about, and already doing it, supporting Python as a client-side scripting language. Lots of crack being smoked there.
But nothing can go wrong there.
Yeah. So with these features and the complexity, let's forget about the typical exploits that people can patch for. Let's forget about the one-offs and the buffer overflows and all the other ways we've typically attacked websites. Let's start using the features our users will not turn off or can't to abuse them. And we're going to take those features and start beating the users about the head. We'll talk about zombies, browser zombies. You know, they're typically bots, but we had to come up with a new name for it, so we did.
Zombies are cool.
Yeah, zombies are cooler than bots. Bots don't eat brains.
No.
It uses JavaScript, and the JavaScript gets shoved down into the browser, starts running, executing, and it hooks that browser. Basically, the JavaScript reports back to a controller, which we're going to show you in a second. And that when that controller sends commands, the JavaScript is going to interpret it and run it. And so we have control. We can tell that browser to go check out other websites. We can find out what pages people have visited, all kinds of coolness. Now, we talk about JavaScript, but most of the technologies we're using can do it. You can hook a browser with Flash. You can hook a browser with a Java applet. This all is available to us. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm lazy. And the frameworks to do this have already been built. We've got things like Beef. Thank you, Wade.
Beef is awesome.
Everybody needs to buy a Wade a beer.
Or several.
Or several, yes. Beef and Browser Writer, these are frameworks that have a controller, and they have all of the JavaScript and other logic built into them pre-built, ready to go, so that when you hook that browser with the hook provided by that framework, you have the ability to then send the commands down, issue the options you want it to do, tell it, hey, go check out this website. Let's have all of the browsers we have control of go visit Amazon to buy Kindles. Sorry. Third-party apps. It's a theme there,
for
right?
The win.
Anytime somebody comes to you and says, hey, let's add third-party apps capability to our website, throat punch them.
Several times.
Yeah, the first time doesn't work, do it again. No. Third-party apps have access to everything. All of your information. You get that little invite, right? You've had a pillow thrown at you. Do you want to throw it back? No. I'm 36. I haven't thrown a pillow in years. Okay, not true.
Liar.
Yeah. Once the user says yes, and how many users do you know won't say yes?
They always say yes.
That yes is, it's so nice. You got to be friendly. That's what my parents taught me.
Of course.
Right. Once that user says yes, you have access to it, not their information. Not only do you have access to their information, you have access to portions of their friends' information.
Even better.
Oh, yeah. Let's start building maps of who's related to who and who knows each other and who works at the same company, right? And we have all this information coming in. Not only that, but in certain social networks, we also have the ability to ask the user, hey, do you mind giving us, I don't know, extended permissions? So, for example, we can send you an email because you want an email from my app, right? So we can use that, right? Because as penetration testers, we try to follow the terms of service, which, by the way, so far in our reading and our lawyers' readings, we're following the TOS. And so, like, all the data we collect, we're not storing anything that's marked unstorable, right? The terms of service says we can only store this information for 24 hours. Okay, I'll only store it for 24 hours. But I can ask the user if I can refresh it infinitely, which means that, well, I don't have to wait for them to come back to my app. I can refresh it, again, not violating the terms of service. Or I have Chris add my app. He gives me all of his information. He doesn't know it. And then I get Chris to convince one of his friends to add my app. Well, when he adds my app, I send an email back to Chris saying, hey, Brenna just added this application. Why don't you come back and see what she did? They come back, I get their information again. All through a third-party application. These APIs win for us.
Every time.
I've told people a long time, when a penetration tester tells you they love something, get it off your network.
Quickly.
I love SharePoint.
SharePoint for the win. But is all hope lost?
Yes.
I think it is.
Okay,
there's
we're
been
done.
A zombie invasion and we're all going to die.
Board yeah. up the windows.
So
you run Windows?
Yeah. So how do we prevent this, right? Well, the first thing is user education, right? I mean, this is the hardest part. I mean, everything starts with the user and is the basis for most of these problems that we're seeing. So, users aren't going to listen to us, but we have to try. We have to do something. We have to educate them. We have to teach them through videos, through guides, websites, just talking to them. We got to do something. And also, like Kevin mentioned, these opt-in developer models.
Yeah, have the social networks verify the code. Have them actually verify that the developer is doing the right thing. Have them fix their documentation.
I hate to say it, but do something a little more like LinkedIn, which is a start. It's not perfect, but it's a start. And also controlling API usage, spam throttling, better account verification. I mean, the list could go on. This is just a sample, but these are some things that the social network themselves could do.
Remove the support for JavaScript in third-party apps.
Yeah, that alone. Thanks for coming, guys.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, please share it with others, subscribe on your favorite podcast listening app, or leave us a rating and review. To catch all the latest from the show, visit our website, sharedsecurity.net, for all show notes and previous episodes. Follow us on Twitter at SharedSec, and join our Reddit community on the Shared Security Show subreddit. Thanks again, and we'll see you next week for another episode of the Shared Security Show.